In an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Hello, and welcome to Life Changes with Filippo, indeed. I say welcome, indeed, because it feels like we have a whole new audience tonight, or a much bigger audience. You know, it's funny, but I've been so busy and so focused on getting the show out and done and ready to go and all that, I didn't even invite any of my friends or family to listen to the show. And I happily have a big family, being Italian and all. But I love people, and thankfully some people love me. And so my list of people I consider family and friends just keeps growing and growing and growing. So when I'm making a point of actually inviting them to the show personally one by one, it's a big endeavor. It's over 1,000 people. And it was like writing Christmas cards. It was so much fun. But I didn't do that until this week. So welcome to all the friends and family that are joining me now. And it's been so wonderful getting so many letters and emails and texts of congratulations and well wishes and all of that. But the best part of it is that the show's called Life Changes with Filippo. And though most of the people that know me know that I have countless conversations with people about changes and how we can do life better and how things can be better, how we can think, et cetera, et cetera. It's not everybody that I get the chance to talk about things like that with. And so there have been people in my life that don't know this side of me and that they and I have never had a conversation about this. That email alone has opened up a conversation with everybody about changes, about things that they've noticed, about things that they're doing or things that they want to know about. And I laughed and I thought, it's already working. The show is already working. We're already creating changes out there. And just having the conversation is creating a change. And so people are not hiding out anymore. They're speaking up. And so I just wanted to read a couple of these. And some of the English isn't the best it could be because it comes from Europe or it comes from all over. I'm glad to hear about your successful efforts in having participants in your show who speak about experiences in their life. It is a wonderful purpose, and I sincerely wish you a great audience, as we all need to change and be more helpful with others. I think that's really beautiful. One that I didn't expect this one at all. This one said, "It is going to be a great show. Your voice will broadcast itself throughout the solar system." Thank you for that one. That just makes it all feel so powerful. And it's great to be feeling powerful and having a message that is so powerful that people are really being affected by. Here's wonderful news about your new project. You will and are having great success. As you know, I believe that if you envision it, ask for it, live it, it will come to you. And it has with us. Our business is prospering in this devastating economic downturn. We're very excited about today and the future. Lots of love and light. I'm so happy for you. You see, here they're talking about all the things that we're talking about, and people are living this already. It's just that maybe we're not sharing it enough. Here's a lady that I actually met in a cafe, and within 5 minutes, we became close, as you know, could happen. And then the next day, she's off to Europe, and she's been there for a year or so. And so we really haven't, you know, we connected through music, through the conversation about music. And she writes, "Ciao, Filippo. Wow, this is very, very interesting. I'm still over here in Europe, continuing to forge ahead independently. It is not always easy, but," and then she stops herself. "Wait. What am I saying? Cancel, cancel. I will change that and say rather, it is easy. It is as easy or as difficult as we make it. And I have manifested everything I have. I have taken full responsibility, and I have been extremely fortunate and have a lot of wonderful people in my world. And I think that is so great. And she goes on, it's actually a very long email where we could have a show just with her. I had no idea. She goes on to say, why are so many people afraid of change when mastering the force of flux is a secret to success? It's a sociological question. Our society has conditioned people to reject change, to become accustomed to complacency, and consider those who change and adapt as flaky or inconsistent. When the mavericks, the risk takers, and the ones most attuned to the forces of change are the ones who thrive. And America was built on change by people who took great risks to come here. I mean, the emails go on and on. I thought I'd be going through these a lot faster, that I could read so many more of them. But you get the picture, and I certainly was overwhelmed and grateful at the same time that I have such a beautiful circle of people who are with me on this and who are with all of us. And that's really what obviously the show's about, but most particularly today, because today we have the pleasure and honor of having a man who is really out there forging change for all of us on behalf of the entire planet, really, by doing it in an area that is so important to the history of our world, or the future history of our planet. And that is the area of fuel. So all of these emails and all these people that are saying that, in a sense, they are changing the world by changing their lives, by changing what they say, by changing how they view things. And they are honoring me by saying, we support you in this. Well, here's a man who is saying, who out there is making changes in fuel? In biofuel, and we'll get into more specifics in a moment here. And he's supporting them and bridging the rest of the world, us, and sharing with us what we could do. And I'm just so excited. I could go on and on. Let me tell you about him. He's Kevin Vickery, and he provides strategic communications and resource development for the support of renewable energy and ecotainment sectors. I believe ecotainment is like ecology or ecological and entertainment, because he is the co-producer of a movie called Fuel, which is the 2008 Sundance Film Festival Audience Award winner for documentary. He also was on the National Environmental Communication Team for the film Arctic Tale that you might have seen by Paramount Classics. So Kevin is responsible for raising capital and creating strategic partnerships with some of the most innovative renewable energy companies in the world. This is really exciting stuff. The technologies represented by these companies include phytoremediation, something that I didn't even know what it was until a couple weeks ago, biomass, algae, solar, syngas, biogas, and biodiesel. I hope we have the opportunity to talk all about that, and if not, we'll have to just have him back, because he's an amazing guy. Please welcome to the show, Kevin Vickery.
Well, thank you, Filippo. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and you're actually our very first in-studio guest, so it's a first all the way around. You know, one of the reasons that we couldn't wait to have you on the show, I say we, the producers and I, is obviously because this film is making waves, and it's inspiring people, and it's giving people hope. I got to see the movie actually with you
in Long Beach
a week ago, one of the screenings. But it won't be available in wide release until August, right?
August 7th.
So on August 7th, all over the nation, this film is going to be coming out, and people are going to be seeing the future as we can have it if we choose to. Yeah. So that was one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show. Yeah. But since we've gotten to know you personally, we know that you're the real thing. I mean, you care, you're passionate, and all the things you talk about, you do yourself. I mean,
I do.
You know,
not all of them, but you know, I aim to
as much as you can, and you're doing more.
Right. Well, we have to keep it in balance, of course. But yeah, I do. I aim to. You know, you educate through, you know, example. So,
well, you not only do it, but you're excited about it. I mean, this, it means something to you. You put in, I just bought new light bulbs, and jumping up and down, and you know how much I'm saving? So many watts, and, you know, stuff that I don't even understand yet, but I know it's good.
Yeah, no, don't get me started on bicycling.
You bicycle, exactly. You take the train in Los Angeles. Who takes the train?
It's crazy.
It's great.
Yeah, it's completely insane. Yeah.
So, like the light bulbs, not to get into this because there's so many things we could talk about, but the light bulbs you were telling me about weren't exactly the ones that you wanted to get, but they were the best available at the time. But someplace else, eventually, you're going to buy LED ones. I mean,
no, I've recently become a big LED convert thanks to President Clinton, of all people. Yeah, I mean, they use no energy. They use very little energy. They're expensive. They use very little energy. There's a lot of talk about compact fluorescent bulbs. Are great. There are issues around recycling. They contain mercury, but they're good. Anything's good. Just, you know.
Well, you know, we have to start at the beginning and talk about fuel, and then we'll make our way onto other things that we could do. But since we're on this track, I have to laugh because I remember getting excited about this water that was in a cardboard box, and, you know, and I was saying, hey, look at this water, and it's in carton, and it's renewable. And what was it you said? It's not renewable.
Oh, well. Well, yeah.
You know so much about different things that, you know, we think, oh, this is great, but, you know, it's not always great.
No, I mean, there's a lot of greenwashing going on in terms of things looking like they're green. This water that you're speaking specifically of is in a cardboard box, but it's also coated with plastic, which makes it tricky to recycle.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just, you know, people wanting to be green. It's knowing what green really is and what did you call it? Greenwashing?
Greenwashing.
Like brainwashing, like we want to think. We want people to think we're green, but we're really not.
See, it's putting a coat of green paint on top of something that is completely not. You know, I have to say, I'm not a big fan of the word green just because of the way it's thrown around these days. I do like looking at things that are sustainable and then their ability to be maintained over time. But because it's the word we're using, we'll continue to use it. Eco-green, whatever.
Okay.
But
until you come up with a better one.
Until I come up with a better one and charge you for using it on air.
Now, that doesn't sound green to me.
That's very green. What are you talking about?
Okay, which actually goes to say that you could make money off of being green. So let's see. Okay, let's go back to the top. So there's you've participated in films, and you've helped films get out there or have information that the public can use. And then comes fuel, and you say, I got to be a part of this. I mean, how does this all happen, and what did you do?
How did it happen?
Yeah.
That's a long story.
Oh, okay. Then what did you do?
So what I did with the film is I raised money. I raised money for the film. I created partnerships with companies, as you mentioned earlier, that are in the developing amazing technologies, very forward-thinking, very innovative, in areas like making jet fuel from algae and cleaning up, you know, land that we can't grow food on with trees and, you know, all sorts of stuff across the board. So I went to these companies and we created relationships with them. We brought them into the movie, and then I raised capital for the film, you know, produced the film. And it's very similar to what I do in my business development. It's actually exactly the same thing, except that this is entertainment. And at the end of the day, we have a movie. Whereas, you know, when you're doing just straightforward business development, you hopefully have a paycheck.
So it is entertainment. At the end of the movie, people clapped. I mean, you know,
oh yeah, they're insane about it.
They're happy. And you know, it's funny. It's now become a cliche, but I was going to say thank you for making this film. But you hear that a lot. I mean,
yeah,
I've heard people say that to you. I mean,
I
at the screen, it's like people thank you for making this film. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate. I've been the gracious recipient of a lot of people's goodwill, and you know, promoting. We screened the movie at the United Nations in
New York in January, and since then, you know, we opened it in Los Angeles, ran 7 weeks here, and moved it out. And I've met probably thousands of people at this point, and I have many, many, many occasions been the person, you know, to receive that. It's an amazing place to stand.
Well, you're certainly standing before so many of us saying, we're on the precipice of something very exciting or something not so exciting. Mm. And we have a choice here. Mm. And that's one of the things. And one of the things I like about you is, and about the film as well, but you present things in a positive manner. So you could dwell on the fact, and thankfully the movie doesn't too much, that there's a problem here. Mm. And, you know, somebody's created it. But the movie makes a statement saying, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, mm-hmm. let's all come together now mm-hmm. and turn this around.
Yeah, I worked on another film called The 11th Hour.
Okay.
Briefly through one of the people that appeared in it. And it really left me wanting to jump off a cliff, you know. Like mm-hmm. that, the film, and I understand the intention behind the film, but the film didn't really leave me in a place of being like, oh, wow, I can go change the world, man, this is good.
Right.
It didn't. And with Fuel, this film that I produced, you know, along with about 400 other people, there are a lot of producers on Fuel, that, you know, our intention was to empower people, was to create solutions so that people could walk out of the theater, take action immediately, and make a difference for themselves. I mean, the planet is the planet, but it's really coming down to the individual and to sustaining our own lives and what we can do. We just all want to be happy, you know?
Can't we all just get along?
Can't we all just get along?
Well, you know, it's funny. Growing up as a kid, my dad was an immigrant to this country. And he used to say things, like he used to do things that used to bug me, because none of the kids' parents at school used to do this. Like, my dad used to save, get this, plastic bags.
That's insane.
I know. And my dad used to walk to work. I mean, it's like...
Obviously crazy.
Yeah, I know. You got a car, you know? And and then my dad used to plan his trips so that, you know, he'd do several different tasks all in, you know, one circle around the town. And it's like, no, you come home, you go out, you know? And he used to say, you know, don't throw that away. Shut the lights off.
Yeah.
And we say, nobody does that. Why should we? And he'd say, America's still young, but America will learn.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
And now he's gone, but those words ring in my head.
Yeah.
Are we learning? It's a good question. Are we?
I think we are. You know, I've met a lot of people over the past couple of years since we debuted at Sundance a year and a bit ago. And, I think we are. You know, I go on radio. I do a lot of interviews. I talk to people. I get emails from people all across the country. And I think we are. It really is. I think the economy sliding into the state that it's in is, ironically, it's helpful. It's beneficial. Mm. People are looking at their money, you know, how much money they're saving. You know, my grandmother is, a major influence in my life in that, you know, she's always composted. She's a Southern, you know, gentlewoman and you know, has a garden and wears a hat and, you know, has roses, but she composts everything. She has that one piece of, I remember as a kid, you know, she would have that one piece of aluminum foil in the kitchen,
right? Oh,
you know, and it was like from like 1952, and it was so malleable. It was, you know,
To cover everything.
To cover everything. I'd never seen brown aluminum since, but it was there. And there's a we're really looking at that and what it takes to sustain and be happy. And we've just been distracted, is all. You know, we've been distracted, and we've allowed ourselves to be distracted. And now there's a cultural revolution underfoot on many levels, in my opinion, and not just inside of our economy or the environment. Many, many, many areas. And I think people are really starting to look at the big picture, how it all plays together, what are the pieces, how is it integrated, how are they going together, and who are we being inside of all of that that makes it move forward or not, that makes it slide backwards.
Mm.
So, I don't know, you know, I, when I moved here in 93, Los Angeles, I never saw people bicycle, and you just didn't. And now, you know, I bicycle pretty much every day. And
you see other people doing it.
We see people bicycling.
Right.
And, you know, I emailed someone today, a council member here in Los Angeles, you know, kind of volunteering myself to get on his bicycle campaign.
Oh, I know who.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so.
Great.
Yeah.
And to hopefully build more bicycle lanes?
Well, yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it takes cars off the road. It takes, you know, carbon monoxide out of the air, carbon, all of that, right?
Yeah.
Tons and tons and tons of pollution.
Right. So I like, again, there you go again. You weren't blaming anybody. You're just saying we're distracted. What a nice way to say we're unconscious. We're unconscious or, you know, mm-hmm. Great. I mean, because some of this is just not necessary. I mean, some of what we've done is just not necessary. Just throwing things away. When, you know, one of the things that I have a personal beef about is you buy 4 apples and they come in this big plastic container and then it's clean and it's, you know, what do you do with that afterwards? Mm-hmm. You throw it away and it's like, there's got to be a better way. And why did, anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. I think there's someone in Silver Lake that makes furniture out of it, actually.
Oh, seriously? Okay, so, all right, so great. Okay, so we're not blaming anybody, but we're saying, all right, we could turn things around here. Our air could be cleaner.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, I just want to say that blaming, it doesn't serve the movement.
Right.
It keeps us focused and engaged in the past-based conversation, right? So I encounter this a lot with the government should or industry should or, you know, from in Q&As in the movie. And really what I find, I just don't find it effective. I find that looking at what we can do now and engaging in that now. And actually, you know, I have a couple tips that I'd like to throw out.
Well, actually, I'm hoping that we're going to eventually get to that, and we will. So do you have to say them now, or can you wait?
No, I can.
Okay. So, all right. So because we threw out some big words, phytoremediation, biomass, algae, solar. This is all in the movie, and everybody's going to go watch the movie when it comes out and learn more about it. But, you know, let's just give a couple minutes of what we have to look forward to.
Well, I think the first one, of what we have to look forward to in the movie.
In the movie.
Yeah, well, we spend the last third of the movie focusing on solutions. Things, technologies that we have right now or they're being developed right now, primarily inside the United States, that can completely shift the landscape. I mean, the bottom line, it's a very, very simple equation. We run our economy off of oil, petroleum. It's limited, and it's in the hands of other people. Period. That's it. You know, you can talk about global warming, you can talk about polar bears, but that's really the bottom line of what we're dealing with on the immediate level. And now, of course, that and all those other things play in together. So, what we do is we look to address that directly. We look at the history of oil. We look at the current state of oil, you know.
And the future.
The future of oil, which is not very bright. And what we can do now and what technologies are available to us now, you know. And it's sort of the missing pieces, legislation. There's a lot of venture capital. I work in that arena. You know, there's a lot of money floating around going into renewable energy. A lot overseas, you know, the United States is still behind. We're very behind. I don't know if people realize this. We are pretty far behind the rest of the world and definitely behind Europe in terms of our application and implementation of solar and wind and concentrating solar power and all those good things. So we go into the last third of the movie. We look at solutions and we educate people. You know, this is what it is. This is how easy it is. And this is how it's used. And, for example, there's a company, Solazyme, in the film, guys I worked with. They make biodiesel from algae. Biodiesel can, you know, go into any diesel engine without any modifications, and it has, you know, it's been grown in a tank.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know this until I saw the film, so I interrupted because biodiesel, maybe other people don't know, it's like diesel, but it's not made from oil.
No, it's not made from petroleum.
Petroleum.
Yeah, it is a fuel that can run a diesel engine that is not made from petroleum. It is made from other sources, vegetable oils, rendered fats, and algae.
Wow. And the algae part is probably the most fascinating. So I have to get back to that word, phyto.
I know, you've been on this word all day.
I learned a new word.
We taught Filippo a new word today, phytoremediation.
No, actually, it was last week. We're getting our days mixed up. But anyway, so phytoremediation, I just love saying it. So,
phytoremediation, that is using plants to remediate contaminated soil. So there are millions of acres of marginal land, contaminated land, or marginal land, as it's called in the United States, that cannot be used for farming. They either have been overfarmed. Another byproduct of oil is fertilizer, right?
Mm.
We use a lot of oil-based or oil-made fertilizers in this country. Or they have heavy metals in them, something. And you can use plants, as we show in the movie, we use trees. Emerald Energy and the World Polonia Institute have a fast-growing tree that they use to remediate the soil. And after about 5 or 6 years of it, they can pull the trees out, and then you could grow food on that plant.
Amazing. And then you can use the trees for other things.
Like, sure, you can chip up the trees and make make ethanol from them through a cellulosic process that's an enzymatic process. And you could go a step further and make biogas or syngas. Those both function like natural gas. They can turn turbines. They can generate power.
And you can make paper.
You could make paper. You can make furniture.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't think about those things. I only think about fuel.
Can you make glass?
We can make wind from trees.
And you got a cool name for these trees. M4 something rather.
Megaflora.
Okay. And but it's actually just
their last album just dropped recently.
Megaflora?
It's hot.
Inside joke. Okay, Megaflora sounds like a band. I get it. All right, so biodiesel, phytoremediation, biomass. What's that?
That's the biomass is the trees. Trees that you cut them down, that's a biomass. Sugar cane, switchgrass, biomass. Biomass also can be stretched out into other areas. There's a lot of focus right now. One of the technologies that's coming out of the gate pretty aggressively, actually, because I'm working on a project in the Middle East on this, is waste to energy. That's taking waste garbage and turning it into energy by using a gasification process that's heating things very, very high. They don't actually incinerate, they just gasify. So old tires, chipped up garbage, fabric. And what happens is you gasify it. You use these machines, create a syngas or a biogas from that material, which then acts like natural gas. It turns a turbine, which creates electricity. And this technology is already being used. There's no rocket science here. There's a lot of science, but no rocket science. And that's something that's immediately accessible and definitely being put in. I know I'm working on a project that we're looking at putting that in. Into a widespread application. So
in a sense, we could almost go on living the way we're living, consuming the way we're consuming, if all of these other processes were in place. Because they get used up and renewed.
Well,
okay, so not the best idea, but
no,
I'm just saying. Okay,
bad
idea.
Not really. I mean, we definitely can use them. The problem with it is making tires, making all of those products that we would use for gasification or waste-to-energy processes, is that they require a lot of energy, and they have a carbon offset. I mean, they have a carbon output. To make plastic, like your four apples or whatever it is, it requires a lot of energy to make that.
Right.
It's different when you go to the farmer's market. I'm a huge fan of your local farmer's market. Go to your local farmer market, you take your bag, there's no plastic involved, there's no transportation. It uses energy to transfer food and fuel, from long distances. Our gas that we buy is... it's not made here. It comes from some of it is, but it comes from long distances. So we had to burn fuel to get our fuel to us.
In other words, we're not blaming anybody, but we can't keep doing things
boy,
the way
we
we're
doing.
And we can't keep doing things the way we're doing them. So there have to be some changes made. And so people can say, all right, well, I can't go out and build turbines, and I can't afford to buy a regenerator, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so,
you know, I can't do anything about it. The government has to do it, or the big companies have to step in, or whatever. But you're saying, and the movie says, that we all can make a difference, and not just by writing the congressman or whatever. We can make a difference by changing a light bulb. And, you know, when you work out the numbers, it makes a big difference.
So, no, it does make a big difference. You know, all of the... Carla Honey, if you're listening. I stayed at my friend's place.
Who's Carla Honey?
Carla, my friend Carla. I stayed at my friend's place, and they had moved in. The light bulbs were already in place. It wasn't her fault. I understand. But
We're not blaming her.
We're not blaming her. But there were like 495-watt light bulbs, you know, screwed in. And that's a lot of energy being used just for four lights. I run all of the lights in my house on probably less than 110, you know? Wow. And that's through compact fluorescents or LEDs and timers. I love timers and you know, compact fluorescents but there are other things you can do. You know, it's really about having conversations with your circle. All the people I meet, I impact their world. They go out into the world, impacts their world. They have conversations with people. You know, the genesis of change is the individual, and hence your show, right? So everybody has the potential, and it's not it's not difficult to have conversations with people about things that you're committed to and passionate about. And so,
and don't attack people. Like, you shouldn't do that.
Oh no. There's
stop
no, there's,
doing that.
Oh no, there's
you're
no
killing the planet.
Yeah, don't should all over people. There's no value in that because you lose them immediately. Yeah.
Or say you're the reason why we're in this mess to begin with.
No. It's there's a real shift inside of our country. I think inside of our culture right now to being inclusive. We've come out of an era of exclusivity. Has been alienating for people. It's created paranoia and fear for people. I do see an era of inclusivity emerging, and even in entertainment. You know, I write this, I go back and forth, right? Like, I'm in entertainment, I work on movies, or I produce movies, and then I'm in diehard environmental conversations, and on both sides of it, it's great, actually, because you start to see the potential for both to play together. There are things you can do. Like, every time you go to the ATM...
Actually, before you say that, let's get... You talked about having a conversation, and I know with the movie, you're inviting people to have a conversation on the website. So let's give the website out, and then how they can do that. And then
sure. Well, the website is thefuelfilm.com. That's www.thefuelfilm.com.
Just like it sounds, okay. As in F-U-E-L?
As in F-U-E-L-M-O-U-S-E. Yes.
Okay, and there people can have a conversation. I mean, there are things people can do. I remember reading that as well. So now you, besides that, tell us what we could do. Like, what can we do right now?
It's very easy. Ride a bike. If you don't have a bike, buy one. The other thing, one of the easiest things you can do is when you go to the ATM and you withdraw cash, decline getting a receipt. There are millions and millions and millions of tons of paper that go into those receipts that are drawn by people every year, and then there are chemicals involved in bleaching the paper, and there are chemicals involved in printing on the paper. And even though those chemicals may be biodegradable and non-toxic, there's still energy that goes into creating all of those chemicals. And that's an expense your bank has to incorporate, and it ultimately gets passed back to you. So there's a lot of online banking. Track your balance online. If you're making a deposit, personally, I always get a receipt, you know. But if I'm withdrawing cash, I don't. And it's a very simple thing to do, and then I don't have to get home later and go, why did I get this, and tear it up or make origami out of it. Which, you know, is hot.
You know how to do that?
Totally.
Okay. Well, actually, and somebody on your team, Stacey Hess, who's on our team as well, and we're all lucky to have her, but she's your publicist for the movie.
She is.
On every email that I get from her, that everybody gets, it says...
Don't print it.
Yes, don't print this email.
Don't print this email.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good one. That's an easy one. I mean, I think that if everybody did that, one out of every two times they went to the ATM, you would see an impact. If everybody changed one light bulb, you know, it's very easy.
These are easy fixes.
Very easy.
The numbers add up.
Yeah, I have a whole lot of things that I think, like there are lots of things you can do under $35 that are good. You know, summer is coming. This is important, I think, you know, especially we live here in Southern California, you can go to Home Depot. There's a thermal film that you can put over your windows. It's a film. You just spray it and you apply it. You can see straight through it. It doesn't affect your view. But what it does do is it cuts the sun's radiation coming through your window by about 60%. So that reduces the heat inside your house,
right,
which, of course, allows it to be cooler, and then you don't have to use as much energy to cool it with your air conditioning if
right.
you are lucky enough to have one. And that costs $29. You know, it'll cover 4 feet by 8 feet of window.
And it ends up saving money in the long run because
oh, sure.
you don't have to air condition
sure.
your home when you're yeah. So all these things, it works both ways. I mean, it just makes sense. We just haven't been thinking like that as a culture.
No, we haven't. We lost our common sense. We got distracted. We just got distracted. You know, the 50s came along, the 60s, and the birth control pill.
I wasn't around, so I don't know.
And then that's all that happened. And then we had disco, and
I definitely wasn't around.
Disco, then Reagan, and now we find ourselves here. That's the way I see it. I'm going to stick to that.
Blame in there somewhere.
No, I don't blame.
Okay.
I really don't. I don't
okay.
have the room for it.
Okay.
There's no luxury inside of blame for me. It's about really looking at what's available and applying it, and having conversations with people. So
how do you suggest we start these conversations? I mean, here we are, we're having this here. And like I said, I send out an email. Maybe I could start by sending out my email to everybody and say, hey, listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people are writing back saying, hey,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people said, we want to be on the show. And you know, I know you're working with so many companies. I don't know how you keep track of all this, but is there any...
Stephanie?
Oh, thank you, Stephanie, whoever you are, for helping keep track of all this so that he could go out and do all these wonderful things. You're talking to companies. You're making things happen. You're helping make movies. So people could have... Well, here's an easy one. Can have a conversation about the film.
Right.
Say, let's go see this film when it comes out.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing about the film. It creates an opportunity to have a conversation. You know, I'm in Salt Lake City next weekend, and I'm speaking to about 300 people after the screening. You know, but there'll be 300 people that see that film at the same time. They're going to walk out of the theater at the same time, having just, you know, like popcorn, pop, 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 pop. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go out and I can, you know, I can do all of these things.
Right.
And then they go and they get on the phone and they tell people. And it stimulates a conversation.
It's empowering.
Oh, absolutely.
You feel good.
Because if you're not empowered, you're nobody in this town.
Well, we're talking about towns all around the world here. and it's good to be empowered.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you're empowered. You can actually do something.
So, you know, like people wear little stickers that said, I voted today,
mm-hmm.
or they say, I gave blood. You know, maybe we should have little stickers that said, I did something to help the planet today.
We could. You want to do that?
Well, no, because if you print it on paper
right.
with, yeah.
So we get a rubber stamp and some soy ink
and
put it on your forehead. A little tree. I think a green tree on your, right on the, in front of the, your third eye there.
All right. Well, I see where this is going. Okay. You don't like any of my ideas, but...
No, I do. I love that idea. We just escalated it to something sustainable. That's
sustainable.
All.
Okay. So there are things we could do. We could stop the blame. We could just stand where we are, meet each other where we are and say, okay, yeah, that used to be fun, but there's another way of having fun. We don't have to do that way anymore. We could ride our bike, or we don't have to have the lights on all the time, especially when we're not home. You know, there are different things that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you go to the website as well, that's...
Thefuelfilm.com.
Thefuelfilm.com, which is www.thefuelfilm.com.
I think we stopped doing the www's a few years
really?
Ago, didn't we?
Or you did it earlier. Or you could go... See how much fun it could be to talk about green? It's fun being green, or whatever color you choose, whatever name Kevin comes up for us.
I will.
Yeah, I know you will. And we'll read in the papers, I'm sure. You gave us some great tips, and again, the movie gives us hope. You're giving us hope, and it's exciting.
I have one more.
You have another tip?
I have another tip.
Oh, you have lots more, but you want to? Okay, we have time for another.
I have one more tip. When you're filling up with gas, when it's hot.
You mean in your car?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Gasoline.
Okay.
gasoline, because we're still using gas, right?
Some of us.
Well, most of the gas we buy in California is 10% ethanol anyway, so at least most of the pumps. So fill up when it's cool. Fill up either early morning or at night.
Mm.
Because when it's warmer, the gas expands. When it's colder, it's compressed. And you'll actually get a bit more of the fuel, and less of it will leak into the atmosphere.
Wow. And if you're getting more, then you're saving money because you're getting more fuel.
Yeah, you're actually getting what the meter says you're paying for. If you're filling up in the middle of the day and it's 100 degrees outside, you're not.
Wow.
But at night, yeah. So in the summer, fill up at night or early morning.
Well, there it is. So we look forward to seeing. I look forward to seeing the movie again, going with a bunch of my friends come August, since you won't give me a copy and since they're not available.
I'm sorry.
I know you can't. But no, I'm playing. But I want people to go out in theaters. And as we do this in mass, not biomass, but in mass, and then people, we inspire each other. As your help inspiring us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a friend of ours she's holding, you got to go, I know. But can you stick around a little bit longer?
Of course.
Because we got Stacy online.
Stacy!
And she's always good with the illuminary list, I'm thinking light bulbs. The luminary list. Stacy, are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Okay.
I'm here. Hello?
She probably is. We might not be able to hear her. So
hello?
Let me
hello?
Introduce the segment. It's the Luminary List, and Stacy Hess is our publicist, as well as
hello?
A publicist for Fuel, and
hello?
She's who brought us together, and she's online going to tell us about who's out there doing good things besides us.
Hello. Did you guys hear me saying hello like 15 times?
Obviously not.
Oh, and I whistled, too, as if I were calling my dog, Oliver.
Okay, thank you for that.
Hi.
Hi,
Kevin.
Hi, Stace.
So I just have to share with everyone that if you read my little bio, which is silly because it talks about an inflatable dog, on the website, I mentioned that one of my heroes is my friend Kevin. Well, you guys have all been listening to him for the last several minutes, and I'm sure you now understand why he is one of my heroes. So, Kevin is one of my personal luminaries in my life, and I'm so happy that we got to share him with everyone tonight, Filippo.
This is exciting. I am too. Thank you for introducing him to the show and to us.
So, I'm really excited tonight. Would you like to know why?
Yeah, Stacy, why are you excited tonight?
Well, I'm excited. I'm glad you asked, Filippo.
We're all crazy.
Oh, it's so fun.
You should be here, you know.
You know what the beauty of internet radio is? It's not regulated by the FCC. So you can say anything you want. It's fantastic. It's this amazing sense of freedom that we all have here.
Well, we haven't said anything
so
that would be regulated anyway.
To answer your question, Filippo.
Because
I have a luminary this evening that was suggested by one of our listeners.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So I want to thank Joyce Garrow. I apologize, Joyce. I've just butchered your name because I pronounced it two different ways, but I'm hoping one of them was correct. But she suggested Patty Grabow tonight for our luminary, and I have been on her website, and I've been watching her really great web TV show called Patty Grabow's Roundtable. And Patty is a really cool lady. First of all, she's from Ohio, which is where I'm from, so automatically she's cool because she's a Buckeye. But beyond that, Patty has a really cool history. She was one of Dean Martin's gold diggers from 1973 till 1985. And are you guys familiar with the gold diggers? They were like his backup singers.
Uh-oh, pick me, I am.
Right. So you're familiar with them, right, Filippo?
Of course. They were his backup singers. Actually, I think you just said that. So anyway.
Yeah. So she was one of Dean Martin's gold diggers from 1973 till 1985. And since then, she's spent a lot of her time really being a role model for young people, young women. And, you know, she's interviewed now on her show many, many luminaries, including John McCain, Dan Rather, Monty Hall. Let's make a deal, baby. Door 1, 2, or 3. Rod McEwen, Gloria Allred. I mean, those are just a few of the people that she's innovated, that she's interviewed. Innovate is the next thing I'm going to talk about, though. That is a little, like, tip for you. Anyway,
good save.
You know what? It's been a long day. I have to apologize. I didn't even get home till 20 minutes ago.
You don't have to apologize. We're actually grateful that you just got home 20 minutes ago and you're still getting on the phone with us and sharing all this good news. And actually, I know Joyce Garrow, and I'm glad she did submit that. But she was a gold digger herself. I mean,
I love
a Dean Martin gold digger.
God, it's so cool. I really love that. And so anyway, Patty's mission on her show is to innovate and educate, which we're all about. Also, she's really issue-driven, kind of like we are here. You know, we try and talk about current issues and the way that they're impacting the change that we see going on in the world. And then she also aims to be insightful. So I would urge everybody to check out her website, which is thepgshow.com. So PG as in Patty Grabow. show.com, and I watched a couple of the episodes today, and they were really wonderful. She's great. So we may consider having her on the show sometime, Filippo.
Awesome.
And then I just wanted to add a couple little things here about Patty. She, in 2008, was the recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Women Leaders Forum. And that's really cool to me because I think that we really lack a lot of great female role models in society today, and it's one of my goals in life to be a really strong role model for young women. And so I really respect the fact that Patty was able to win this Lifetime Achievement Award. And the last thing I'll share with you guys is something that I found on our website today, and there was a section where it was an interview, and they said to her, do you have any fond memories of time that you might have spent with Dean Martin or things that he might have said? And one of the things she shared was this, and this is what I'll leave you with. And, you know, it's always hard for me to leave you because I always have, like, that last one little thing to say, like something about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. By the way, Goonies is showing at that Beverly, you know, that theater at Beverly and Fairfax that shows the fabulous movies at midnight. Goonies is showing, and I'll tie this back to one of our other luminaries, Corey Feldman, of course, got his start in the movie Goonies. So everyone should go see it because Corey himself is a luminary. But anyway, I am going to leave you with this. Dean Martin said, it's so easy to be nice and so hard to be mean. And I think that's something that we should all remember every day.
Well, Stacey, thank you so much for that. And let's remember that. You know, I couldn't hear you too well here in the studio, but hopefully the audience could hear you. So, you know, I'm sure it was a wonderful saying. Because I trust you. But do say it one more time. It's easy to what?
Oh, I will repeat it again. Dean Martin said, it's so easy to be nice and so hard to be mean.
Okay. All right. It's so easy to be nice and so hard to be mean. Okay. Well, thank you for that. So, in other words, let's be nice. And this has been real nice. And we're so grateful to you, and thank you for the luminary edition today.
And we want more of our listeners to send us luminaries because we put them on the radio.
Amen. And thank you again for Kevin.
All right.
All right.
Yes, I'm fully responsible for Kevin. Bye.
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 Well, we also have on the air our resident cosmic advisor, who we know and love as Dorothy Lee, and she always has some great advice for us. Dorothy, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, if you could speak a little louder, we might be able to hear you, and please share with us, what have you got on the State of the Universe address for us today?
Okay, well, I believe that our audience is listening to this program because they want to become a part of the solution to the challenges we face as a planetary family. And part of my mission is to help each of us remember that all of the answers lie within. We are the gurus we've been searching for. And as the divine children of the cosmos that each of us are, we're powerful beyond imagination. So my question for tonight is this. If peace is what we want in our world, how do we become the change we wish to see? In other words, how do we become peaceful? So the first thing we need to do is to accept that we are the co-creators of this thing called life. And then we must choose to become conscious co-creators instead of unconscious ones. I've spoken of this before, and I'll continue to speak of it until we all become awake and aware and understand that it is our choices that create our reality, and it is our collective consciousness that needs to shift during this planetary ascension. If peace is what we wish to see, then let us look at how much peace we have co-created in our individual lives. Are our family relationships filled with love and appreciation for one another? Are our work relationships peaceful and fulfilling? And how about our personal relationships? How do these look? Do we even know our neighbors? Many who have reached out to me in the last month are in very toxic personal relationships that they are struggling with. The shift is the time when the relationships we're in begin to shift and change. If they are not the relationships we're meant to be in, they are becoming unbearable. First of all, I want you to know that when you are fighting or quarreling every day or so, you are not in a relationship. You are in a reactionship. And you must learn the difference if you wish to be in a healthy and happy relationship with your life partner, your family members, neighbors, your business partner, or your boss and coworkers. Many of you have defined the law of attraction as this: if I focus on what I want, I will achieve it. Or as Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you cannot, you are right. And I agree with this up to a point. There are some things we cannot and are not meant to do. For example, we cannot change anyone but ourselves. In other words, we can't change another person no matter how much we love them. For example, I was so in love with my ex-husband that I chose to marry him not once, but twice. I loved him more than life itself, and that was part of the problem. I loved him much more than I loved me, and that was the biggest part of the problem. I believed that if I loved him enough, he would love me back in the same way. However, no matter how much I loved him, our relationship didn't work. I was so miserable, I wanted to die rather than live with him in a toxic way. Instead of suicide, I chose divorce. I didn't give up on my marriage. Instead, I simply came to my senses and decided that I needed to let go of something that was literally killing me. I could not change him, no matter how much I was willing to sacrifice, such as my emotional, mental, and physical health. In the end, I chose me first, and I'm so happy that I did. At the time, I really thought that I would die without him because I had loved him for so long and so much. But here I am 37 years later and happier than I ever dared dream possible. Letting go of a dream that he would someday be the man I deserved saved my life and led me to the peace that is possible when we leave toxic relationships behind. The shift is showing us what does work and what doesn't work in all of our relationships. Therefore, with many of my clients coming to me saying they don't want to give up, no matter how painful and toxic it is, because they put so much into their relationship, whether they're business or personal, I tell them they will not find peace until they make a choice to love themselves. To these clients, giving up implies defeat. I wasn't defeated by my choice to end my marriage. What I gave up was an attachment to something being different than it actually was. I chose to let go of something that was not working on any level. To me, letting go didn't mean giving up, but rather it was me accepting that there are things that I simply have no control over. We are programmed to believe that holding on is what makes one strong, but I know that sometimes what makes us strong is letting go. By letting go, I freed myself from more years of pain and suffering. I know that for some of you, there are things that you never want to let go of, people you do not want to leave behind you. However, please keep in mind that I discovered that letting go was not the end of my world. In fact, it was the beginning of a wonderful, new, and very peaceful life. The most important thing I've learned about letting go is that as long as I'm able to be a divine detached observer of this thing called life as Dorothy Lee, then I am happy and at peace. Being attached to specific outcomes provided me with endless opportunities for suffering until I decided that I deserved peaceful and mutually beneficial relationships with everyone in my life. Until next week, please choose to live from your heart and to love yourself enough to make very conscious and elegant choices. And please know that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loved.
Dorothy, thank you so much. Everybody, that's Dorothy Lee with the State of the Universe Address. And boy, how many of us have ever thought about that? Today we've been talking about how we could help the planet by being green, et cetera, and that we don't have to look for the big corporations or the government to do something. We can do something right inside of our own bodies, inside of our own houses, inside of our own circle of friends. Well, Dorothy, interestingly enough, or probably not coincidentally, you're saying the same thing here. Is we want to see peace in the world, but do we have peace inside of our own world, whether it's inside of ourselves or inside of our relationships or our family or circle of friends again? So it all ties in, and it's all beautiful. So in a way, we're looking for green relationships, right? Relationships that
are sustainable.
I love that. I don't know if you all heard, but Kevin said relationships that are sustainable. That's powerful.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so in this, and then you bring it right back, and we're looking for a relationship that's sustainable with the planet. Wow, I'm excited. We just came up with something. We heard it here first. And I say we heard it here because it didn't come from me. This has been really exciting, and I definitely want to thank Kevin again for being with us and being our first in-studio guest and being so gracious to stick around and give us so many great tips.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and the movie is Fueled, and if you want to learn more, not just about the movie, but about Kevin as well, because he's involved in so many things, do go to our website at www.lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and that's Filippo, F like Frank, I L like Larry, I P like Paul again, and the letter O, just like it sounds, right? And because we'll hopefully be keeping tabs on Kevin's whereabouts and what he's doing and how we can follow him. I think he should have a blog or something so that we could, you know, learn about the things that you learn about and get excited right along with you and you know, help you do what you do, and you can help us do what we can do. How's that?
I blog.
Yeah. Oh, you do? You will? You heard it here first. And maybe Stephanie, was it Stephanie? Maybe she can do it for you, or we can help put a team together for you to do stuff, because we need that. So so I wanna thank him again, and also tune in next week to hear our guest, Dr. Enrico Melson, who is a medical doctor who is changing the way we look at medicine, health, and healing. It's a show not to be missed. Remember, you can keep the conversation going by visiting us on our website, again, lifechangeswithfilippo.com, and connecting with us on our Life Changes with Filippo Facebook fan page, or for that matter, any of our personal Facebook pages. The show has been made possible in part by our sponsor, IonWays Water Systems. Change your water, change your life. To learn more about them, visit our sponsor page on our website and click on their link. Once again, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. And I, along with our segment hosts, Dorothy Lee and Stacey Hess, our producers, Mark Skelton, John Snow, Mark Legere, and our engineer, Seth, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we graciously embrace the only constant, life changes.